What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's show is going to lead with the Lakers. It's going to lead with an abomination. It's going to lead with unethical basketball, unethical tanking, just really an embarrassment to not only the fan base, to not only, you know, the players, but an embarrassment to the NBA in itself, an embarrassment to the concept of trying to put everything in front of you to win games. I mean, it's one thing to tank. It's another thing to do what the Wizards have done on this 16-game losing streak. So I want to get right into that Lakers game. That's going to be the lead of the show. Obviously, I'm going to address the comments that Kuz made and Phoenix haven't recorded since then. And then the comments that his mom, Carrie, made, you know, pretty seemingly to me, at me on Twitter without actually tagging me. Want to address those in obviously a respectful manner, as respectful as I can. And then want to talk about, you know, just the losing streak as a whole, the tank outlook. You know, who's been playing well, who's been playing bad, and just kind of go from there. So, you know, to get into it, we're going to start with that Lakers game. And I mean, what an embarrassment. And there's an embarrassment on many different levels, but the first embarrassment I'm going to talk about is game planning, is getting the team ready for games. The Washington Wizards have been outscored, get this, 180-107. Over the last five first quarters. They got outscored 42-29 by the Lakers last night. They gave up 42 points. 42. To a Lakers team that had no Anthony Davis, ended up losing the game by 38 points. Didn't even score 100 points. Like, this is a Lakers team that just lost to the Sixers on the road. They're a team that isn't, they're good record-wise. They're solid, but like, they have times where they struggle. What AD put up, like, a 38 and like 20 game, and they barely beat Charlotte on the road. But they come in here and it's not even close without AD. And the Wizards can't really make any excuses. They're without Sarr, they're without Brogdon. I mean, Bagley, I guess, but they're pretty healthy. They have four of their five regular starters, and yet they're here not even in games after the first quarter. And the Lakers take over in the second quarter, and you got LeBron throwing full court passes, you know, catching the ball and like handing it off, no look, to Jared Vanderbilt for dunks. They were fucking around. Excuse my language, but this is an unserious basketball team. It's basically JV versus varsity. It's like the varsity team just goes up by 25 and they're playing like the Harlem fucking Globetrotters in your home stadium. And to not even mention, it sounded like Game 7 Staples Center in there. The Lakers, anytime LeBron scores, obviously, is a big fan base. It's going to be loud. But, like, it was, I don't know how packed it was, but it was definitely, like, 70 to 30% Lakers fans / LeBron fans compared to Wizards fans. And I knew that was going to be the case. I tweeted before the game. I said, I'm not even going to do a keys to the game today. I have nothing. Not only are you on your second 15-game losing streak of the season, but it gets even worse because you're going to play a road game at home for who knows how many times it's been this year. Definitely every Celtics game, every Lakers game, whenever the Sixers come here, it's a road game. And it's a sea of gold and purple that awaits the Wizards when they're going to get blown out. I mean, I don't know, even if you lower the price to $1, what Wizards fan could sit there and not be embarrassed, not be frustrated and mad and annoyed that not only is your team getting blitzed and non-competitive, you're doing so on the road when you're in your home arena. It's disgusting. It's not tanking anymore. It's beneath tanking. It's an embarrassment. It's a joke. To not only the team and to the NBA, but to the Wizards fan base. I mean, you're asking, you know, a fan base to pay, you know, top dollar. I mean, I don't even want to know how much a you know, hot dog and fries is at the game. I know that, you know, when I would go to games, they would give me a little ticket voucher for media, right? And it would be like $30, like $30 worth. Like you pay like, I don't know, like $10, but for the media, you get $30, which is a good deal for us. But at the same time, like, I would spend it all if I went to get. I think I got like chicken fingers, fries, and like a large soda, and it was like $28. And I mean, I just remember sitting there to myself and thinking, "Are you serious? You just lost by 25 to the Toronto Raptors. You are the worst team in the league. Yet you are still charging me $30 to get chicken fingers, fries, and a drink. It's ridiculous. It's just this organization. And I get it; they're tanking. And you're like, well, Greg, you told them to tank. Yes, I did." But this is beneath it. I mean, you're 6-41. You are on pace to be one of the worst teams, if maybe not the worst team in the league. I mean, the Charlotte Bobcats of 2011, they're the worst winning percentage at, what, 7-59? They had a They had a better start through 41 games, by the way, than the Wizards did, I think. Like, the Wizards have the worst 47-game start, one of at least, in NBA history. It's gross. It's an embarrassment. And this Lakers loss was kind of the – and it's been like this for a while, but this Lakers loss kind of cemented it for me, rock bottom. And you've seen, if you followed me, I've said rock bottom so much, I don't even know if I can say it anymore. But it's an embarrassment. I mean, you're down 78-45 at halftime at home to the Lakers. It's 33 points. You should not be getting outscored by 33 points to the Lakers. No defense whatsoever. It's just vibes out there. There's no winning culture. Nobody actually cares, you know, what the score is. They're just going out and playing ball. And I'm sorry, and I don't want to blame it on Brian Keith, but you got to get your players ready, man. You got to say something. You got to switch something up. And I understand it's hard because I know Brian Keith's probably getting some signals from up top that you need to play these guys at least till the deadline in three games. But I mean, what coach goes on a 16-game losing streak and decides, you know what, the only switch up in the starting lineup is going to be, you know, Bob Carrington, I'm going to move you out. Keyshawn George, go back in there. And nothing else. I mean, Valanciunas played the other night, but that's because Sarr was out. It's just going through the motions at this point. It's stale. That's the best word I could describe it as. It's stale, and you need a trade. You need some guys to get off your team to kind of reinvigorate the squad. It has to happen. It just does. 88-52 at some point for the Lakers. I cued the tanking gif because why not? It's a commonality now. But I will say the lowest point of this rebuild, and I want to say the lowest point for me as a Wizards fan, isn't that Game 7 loss to Boston. It's not, you know, the 2018 team that could have been but lost round one to the Raptors. It's none of that. It's not trading John Wall. It's Bronny James receiving loud, and I mean loud, "We won, Bronny" chants inside Capital One Arena with the Wizards down by 32 points and at 6-4 on the 6-40 on the season as well. That to me is rock bottom. Bronny James going to the free throw line, getting MVP chants in your home arena. I mean, how are you not embarrassed? How are you not embarrassed? Your team is a meme. You are a literal meme. Everyone goes in there and says, "How much can I beat this team by?" "Oh, that's great. We can play our starters for like 25 minutes, get a 25, 30-point lead, and then we can play the end of the bench guys and see what they got." That's what the Wizards are. They are practice for a lot of teams. And it's embarrassing. It's sad. It's a joke. And even though you're tanking, this isn't even tanking anymore. I tweeted out, again, you want to know even more what rock bottom is. Every time that Bronny would get the ball, it would sound like Game 7 in the Staples Center. It would sound like Kobe's farewell 60 ball every time Bronny James scored. Like, it was so loud. It's the loudest that I've heard Capital One Arena this year. And the Wizards have had, like, not a lot, but, like, a couple of close games. I mean, Charlotte, Atlanta, like, those were good wins inside Cap One Arena. And at the same time, I never heard it that loud. Even when they beat Denver, never heard it that loud. Which, by the way, is still their only win over against a team over 500. It's just they suck, and I know that, but this is a new level of sucking. This is a new level of just, I don't actually care at all what the score is. I'm just going out there and balling, and it's embarrassing. Ended up losing 134-96. I tweeted this is the lowest point of the rebound. I mean, it's funny that this is the lowest point after what Kyle Kuzma said the other night, because I don't want to say I called it, but I knew that that quote could have lingering effects, and I had some people that agree with me. Most people agree with me, but I had a lot of people, you know, say that this isn't going to affect anything because the team sucks. And I'll get into that in a second, but I do want to reiterate what Kyle Kuzma said, because I'm sure many of you guys listening know what he said already, but I just want to make sure you get the full quote so you can make your own assessment on kind of what side to take. After Kyle Kuzma scored 30 points against Phoenix in a 10-point loss for the Wizards, I think it was their 13th in a row, it was his first 30 ball of the season, sort of season high. Like, he's very good. Best game of the year, looked like Kuz did 2 years ago, but nonetheless, he's been awful. It's one of the worst years of his career. He's shooting like 29% from three, not that great from the field. His lowest point per game total since his time in the Lakers. And he has one big game, okay? And this is what he says afterward. Quote, "I think today I decided to be myself and not really try to fit into everything that we're doing here and just really played in the moment. I think my mom helped me with that. I saw her today. And then continued, quote, I mean, just not trying to fit into what we're doing here. Just being more assertive, demanding the ball, not just going out there and trying to let people develop, just playing my game, end quote. I mean, what? And that's what, like, I mean, just not trying to fit into what we're doing here. So you know what the goal is. You knew that, by the way, when you signed up on your, what was it, $80 or $90 million contract a couple years ago in free agency. You had teams that were interested in you, but you decided to come where the money was, where the people were going to pay you the most money, right? And so you came back here. You also have been on record saying that you want to be a number one option. You want to see it through in DC. You want to get through this rebuild. That was all BS. I mean, now that I know that, like, it's all BS. And I called that at the time. I knew that Kyle Kuzma wasn't going to be here. He wasn't a number one option. He's not a number two option. And I guarantee you, he's not a number three option. He's a 4/5 and maybe a sixth man on a contending team. And the Wizards have been using him as a one. And he's been exposed this year because of that. He's been terrible. Point blank, and I'm not rooting against the guy, but he's been awful. And to come out here and say this, not only just in general, to say that I'm above the tank that I signed up for. This is beneath me. But to basically go out here and say, yeah, I've been playing bad because I've been trying to get everyone else involved and do what we want to do here. But, you know, F that. I'm trying to go get mines now. What? Like, this, I don't think he's wrong in the sentiment that the Wizards' level of play and the fact that they're openly just trying to lose is embarrassing. I understand, and I fully agree with Kyle on that. But what I disagree with is why this needed to be said in the media. Like, why? This is so many negative, you know, downsides. And what really is the upside other than Kyle Kuzma feeling better about himself? I don't get it. There's something that needs to stay in-house. Maybe if you're annoyed, go to Brian Keefe and say, let me play the way I want to play. If you want to trade me, then trade me. But I'm at least going to go out here playing how I want to play instead of just deferring to a guy like Bob Carrington. But instead, he comes out here and basically says, yeah, you know the tank that I signed up for, and that when they could have traded me off the tank last year, I decided, you know what? I don't want to go to Dallas. I think they suck. I don't think they're going to be a title contender. I want to stay right here in Washington and keep building on the team that I know is really bad and is going to suck for the next 1 to 2 years. And then you're going to come out here and say that that tank is beneath you and that you're better than it and you don't want to play for the development of others on that tank. It makes no sense. It's a quote that could divide a locker room. It's a quote that could hurt team chemistry. And I said that, and some people were like, well, Greg, why does it matter if they hurt the team chemistry if he's going to get traded? Well, Greg, why does it matter if the Wizards are the team chemistry? Most of these guys won't be here. They're trying to lose. Isn't that helpful? No, it's not helpful. Just because you suck does not mean that you'd create a toxic locker room, that you create a toxic work environment, that you create a bad culture. The whole point of the rebuild is trying to rebuild that culture. You've heard it from Dawkins and Winger. You heard it from Brian Keefe. Just because you're not good does not mean that everyone could just go out there hating each other or not liking the way that they're playing, and you can say, you know what, I don't care anymore. We're trying to lose, so what's the point? That's a terrible way to look at it. A terrible way. And now, after all of this, and I say this, I got Kyle Kuzma's mom, Carrie, coming at me basically and kind of saying some stuff on top of my tweets, sharing her thoughts. And I got to be very respectful here because at the end of the day, like, I know she's just sticking up for her son. Like, I know that she doesn't care what I think or what everyone else thinks. She's just looking out for her kid, and that's fine. She chose to be a little bit disrespectful, and I'm just going to read you what she said. I tweeted out all of this from Kuzma after one good game. I mean, he dropped 30 points, and he comes out here and he talks like he's above the rebuild. I said, that's wild. And so she quote tweeted and said, you wild. You must have forgotten that the kid had a broken rib and was out for some time. Yeah, that's wild, bro. One game. Yeah, he's starting to feel better. So hold on to your seats. Okay, that was one quote tweet. And then this one, I was responding basically to this guy, Andy, who said it doesn't basically matter if they divide the locker room because he didn't want to be here anyway and they suck. So who cares? And I basically said, look, like, what do you mean? Like, if you're losing a lot of games, it's okay to have a toxic work environment? Like, that makes no sense. And so she quoted that reply and said, the team ain't toxic, exclamation point. They fine in the locker room. It's a bunch of rookies and not vets. There's a difference. You people are the toxic ones. So I think you people basically means like me, maybe the media, maybe Wizards fans in general. But she's basically saying that the team isn't toxic. It's our fault. We are the toxic ones. And then right after that, she said, "Twitter funny. Everyone on here look think that they are top tier with their outlooks, opinions, and take on things. When in reality, they're here for the likes because they got nobody liking them in real life." And now, I'm not some, you know, fortune teller or genie or whatever, but I can tell you this. Gary Kuzma hadn't tweeted since December 28th. She comes out a month later on January 28th for the first time. All she does is quote tweet two of my tweets, basically, you know, contradicting me, coming at me. And then she basically says that whoever does that type of stuff with their opinions and outlooks is wrong and nobody likes them in real life. And I'm not some expert, but that kind of seems like she's talking directly at me. And if not, she's talking at Wizards fans. And that's a disrespectful route. And I get the point. I mean, she's going trying to, you know, stick up for her son. I get it. Now I'm going to take the high road here. I don't even want to speak on this because I think I'm going to say something I would regret. But I disagree with Kari Kuzma, basically. Just because your son isn't having a great season and some people are calling him out doesn't mean that you go out and attack those people as well. Especially if those people are like me, where I've never said anything like directly insulting to Kyle Kuzma. I speak facts. I go with the stats. I go with what was said. I disagree with what he said. It's something that didn't need to be said. It's clearly that he thinks he's above the rebuild. And I'm sorry, but some of the people that are right there covering the team, they're not going to come out here and say that. And the fact that I don't have to face the music and I don't have to talk to Kyle Kuzma, that definitely makes it easier for me to come out here and say something like that, because I know it's not easy. I've covered teams in person. It's not easy to sit there and say that they're wrong and say that they shouldn't have said what they said, because you got to interview them the next day. So I'm not saying that people covering the team should have said that. But what I'm saying is all I've said is what I actually feel, what Wizards fans feel, and I said it in a respectful way. If you're going to attack somebody for coming at your son, I'm not the person. I'm not the guy. There's people saying some, and I've seen some of this stuff in my comments, some way, way, way more disrespectful stuff to you, your son, about your son. And the fact that you're going to, you know, choose to single out two of my tweets that weren't even disrespectful to your son, they were just spitting facts. And then they basically said that I have no friends in real life. I mean, come on, man. We can be a lot better than that. And I don't want to dread on this too much, but look, I said it at the time. I think that Kuzma's comments could have a lingering effect on the young guys, on the locker room, on the team chemistry, basically saying, look, I'm here. I'm the best player here. I'm above this rebuild. I scored 30 points. I'm not here to, you know, play for. I think, and I said it could have lingering effects, and look, I didn't want to be right, obviously, but it turns out I kind of was, because since that quote from Kyle Kuzma, the Washington Wizards are 0-3 with an average margin of defeat of 28 points since Kuz said those things, since Kuzma said that he's done playing for the development of others. The team has looked lethargic, they've looked defeated, they've just lacked energy, like they look just done even before the game starts, and there's just no hope of even winning. And look, I said the quote could hurt team chemistry. I said it could hurt the locker room. It appears I was right. Didn't want to be, but I mean, average margin of defeat of 28 points, even for a team on a 16-game losing streak, that's clearly the worst stretch of the losing streak. A 22-point loss to Dallas, a 24-point home loss to the 14-win Raptors. Are you serious? And then you go out to against the Lakers without AD, and you lose by 38 points at home with a fully healthy team of your own, by the way. It's an embarrassment. And I think I saw from a lot of Wizards fans, they're kind of just done. They don't want to support this. This is just disgusting. And they do agree with Kuz there, and I agree with Kuz there. The way that the Wizards are tanking is an embarrassment to the league. I mean, if you're Adam Silver right now, you got to sit back and say, look, what more can I do? And this is why I think the draft, this is a whole nother thing, but the NBA draft lottery is ridiculous. Teams tank no matter what. I mean, you think the Wizards are doing something bad. Look, Utah. This is a team 2 years ago that was competent. They had Lowry Markkanen playing well, and now they like barely play some of their older veteran players that could help them win. I mean, have you seen Lowry Markkanen anywhere this year? No, you haven't. You haven't seen a lot of their vets. They are tanking so openly for Cooper Flagg. It's crazy, and so are the Wizards. But so many teams are. The Nets trading away Dennis Schroeder. They're going to probably trade away Cam Johnson. They already traded away Finney Smith. Like, they were a decently competitive team in the beginning. But again, they knew they weren't going to win. We might as well tank and bottom out. Charlotte, I mean, Brandon Miller's obviously unfortunately out for the year. LaMelo's on and off with injuries. They just traded one of their better players in Nick Richards for a couple second round picks to the Suns. Like, so many teams are just bottoming out, and it's not defeating the purpose of it. You got about four or five teams every year that are going to tank. You might as well just reward them like the NFL does. I like what the NFL does. You had a team like the Commanders that, won four games the year before. They clearly needed a top-tier player and a quarterback more than any other team. Same with Chicago. And you let them get that because they were the second-worst team. Rightfully so, they get the second-worst pick or second-best pick. And they get Jaden Daniels in the next year of the NFC Championship game. It makes the league better. There's more parity. It doesn't matter if you're in a small market. If you get Jaden, the Washington's not a small market, but like a Jaguars team, like you're never going to sign a top tier free agent, but you get a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you at least go to the playoffs and get a shot. Can you really say that about the NBA when a team like Atlanta, who is consistently in that 9-10 slot, has no direction whatsoever, but you say, here's the number one pick because whatever, you got lucky. It's sad. And it shouldn't be the state, but that's a debate for another day. So that's the Kuzma stuff. I want to get into some stats right now about the losing streak because, I mean, they are bad. On this 16-game losing streak, the Washington Wizards have lost by an average margin of 17.9 points per game. 13 of these 16 losses have been by double figures. 9 of these 16 losses have been by 15-plus points. They were shooting a whopping 41%, a despicable 31.7% from three, or averaging nearly 15 turnovers per game, sit at 6-41, the worst in the league by 4.5 games. I mean, we are truly witnessing, like, let's be real, one of the worst seasons of all time. One of the worst. I mean, I've seen a lot of people ask me, Charlotte Bobcats have the worst winning percentage of all time at 7-59. That was obviously the lockout shortened year, but if you're going to go by worst teams ever, you're going to go by losing or by winning percentage, because when the worst team in the league only played 66 games, you have to, it's unfair to compare that to an 82 game run. So going by win percentage, I think 0.106 is the Charlotte Hornets one. The Wizards are at like 0.14 maybe right now. They're on a 10.4 win pace, which would be better. However, I think if they get to 9 wins again, they'd match the Sixers. So they still wouldn't be the worst team. But if the Wizards only win 8, that would put them below Charlotte at 8-74. And yeah, they'd be the worst team of all time, which is pretty sad to think about. But again, like in the grand scheme of things, like this is an embarrassment to basketball in general and to the NBA and to competitiveness in the NBA. But like the Wizards are tanking, and like, I mean, silver lining, they're pretty damn good at it. I mean, they're the first team since that Bobcats team in 2011 to go on multiple 15-plus game losing streaks in a season. This is now Brian Keefe, by the way. Let me talk about this real quick. I saw a stat. This is Brian Keefe's third 16-game losing streak as head coach of the Wizards. And granted, he only took over in, late January of last year. So, he realistically coached for, 35 games last year, and he's coached for about 47 this year. So basically in a little over a season sample size as head coach, Brian Keefe has gone on three 16 game losing streaks. It seems like they always win the next one. They haven't gone past the 16 game mark, and this is tying a franchise record as well. So they are, I don't know who they play next. I think they're at Minnesota. They're probably going to set a franchise record. But at the same time, I've seen a lot of people saying fire Keefe, fire Keefe, fire Keefe. I have a couple of comments on the fire to say to the fire Keefe people. I don't think that your comments are misplaced or misguided. I think you're based in your assessment. Any other coach that loses 16 straight games three times in a 90 game sample size, they're not going to retain their job. But this is an anomaly. I mean, this team is truly one of the worst. I think he's the worst roster in the league. I think he's got some pieces, but they're not necessarily at the point where you can say he has enough to be competing. But he should be a lot better. The Wizards should have a lot more than 6 wins this season. Point blank, they should. And they should be a lot more competitive, too. I saw Varun from the Post ask Brian Keefe at last night's presser, you wanted to be a team that was in close games and getting those reps. And, I mean, apparently, I think the Wizards have matched the largest margin of defeat in a single season Maybe through 47 games, I don't necessarily know, but as of right now, that's the case. And he basically asked Brian, like, what do you assess of that? Like, you wanted to be in close games. You're getting routed night in, night out. And Brian was basically like, look, that's not obviously the goal, but, you know, we're trying and we trust in the work. And at a certain point, if the work isn't working and the math ain't math and you're not producing, it doesn't matter how much work you put in. You got to see some results, whether it's on the court for player development, whether it's a win here and there against a team you shouldn't defeat. But again, it's just losses. You know the team's going to lose. They never surprise you. It's just you play a really good team, you're losing by 20-plus points. You play a pretty mid team, you're in it, but you're still going to lose. You play a bad team, maybe you can win. But sometimes, like the Bulls, you lost by 33 points as a part of this losing streak on the road to a 21-28 Chicago team. Like, it's pretty bleak. Now, I do not think they should fire him, especially now. I think there's no point in doing that. I think you definitely let him coach out this season. And honestly, look, if you're trying to lose and he's maybe helping some player development, the guys like him, sure, bring him back for another year. But like I said, in the offseason when they hired him, number one, it seemed like this was just like a hire that they were going to make. There was really no buzz about any external candidates. And I know they did interviews, but it seemed like it was Brian Keefe's job to lose and he got hired. But I have a couple of things. Number one, I don't know what firing Brian Keefe does for you. If you're trying to lose, he might be the man for, and I don't want to say that. That's kind of mean. I don't want to put the blame on him, but like, I think to guide all of your blame onto Brian Keefe is misguided. I think he deserves a lot of the blame for not having his team prepared and getting blown out and not making the best adjustments. But I think the blame can go a lot of different ways. Guys aren't making their shots. That's one of them. He's got one of the worst rosters. He says, call from upstairs to only play certain guys as of right now because they want to showcase people before the deadline. So it's not easy on Brian Keefe. But at the end of the day, like, the tank commander label that people placed on him before the year, he hasn't done anything to shake it. He hasn't. Because the team's been the worst. They've been awful in pretty much every statistical category. And so I don't foresee him making it past year two of his contract, especially if this stuff continues. I think the Wizards might want to get a new man in for the job. And I think, like, again, I'm going to say this multiple times, it's not Brian Keefe's fault that the Wizards are 6-41. He deserved a lot of the blame, but to point all the blame at him would be unfair. So look, 6-41, and look, I talked about Kuz. Jordan Poole has been awful recently as well. And he's not completely, exempt because he's been having a career year. 3 points on one of five from the field against Toronto. I think Bilal, the last two games have been okay, but recently has been pretty bad. Had a good road trip, but the last part of the road trip wasn't great. And he's been struggling offensively, not taking a lot of shots. And when he does, he's, you know, not efficient. They're leaving him open from three. He's hesitant to take it, doesn't want to. And so there's a lot of things that go into this losing streak. And I want to make sure that people know, like, I'm not just going to talk about Kuzma because his mom came at me and he's playing bad. And he said that after the game, like, he's been bad this year, but like, Jordan Poole has been awful these last couple games. Bilal hasn't been great. Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, inefficient shooting. Sarr has been solid, but at times, and I do want to mention that. I mean, you look at that, the last two games the Wizards haven't had Alex Sarr have been uncompetitive. If you want to know what his impact is, especially on defensive end, I mean, the Lakers put up 134 and beat the Wizards by 38 points. The Raptors came in here. The Wizards only scored 82 points, and the Raptors won by 24. So the Wizards are what, a minus 62 in the two games that Alex Sarr hasn't played. And he only played half of that Mavericks game. So when you factor in, they're a minus 84, the three games that they really haven't had Alex Sarr. So if you want a silver lining, Alex Sarr, you know, his impact is real on both ends. And that's maybe something to hang your hat on. I don't know. But look, at the end of the day, the Wizards are trying to be bad. And while it's embarrassing to the league, they're succeeding in it. I think the Wizards fans would be a little bit more mad if they were like 16, 17 wins. And they were like, well, what's the point of this whole season? So you can't be too mad that they're terrible. But honestly, they're a little too bad. That's crazy. I never thought I'd say that, but like, they're a little too bad right now. And so I think there's a lot of teams like Atlanta, Chicago, Brooklyn, maybe Sacramento now having to maybe trade Fox. Like, there's a lot of teams that are in worse spots than the Wizards, Philly. So I think it's fair to say that the Wizards It could be a worse situation, and you're tanking and you're bottoming out, so you're happy about that. But again, I mean, this is next level of tanking. It's embarrassing, honestly, for fans. And I've seen a lot of people say, look, Greg, I'm going to check out. Don't be mad. I don't blame people. I respect the people that are still here and that watch every game more than you know, because I'm here too. But again, I can't come out here and say realistically, like, you need to watch every game as a Wizards fan, because this product is honestly just – it's gross. It's an embarrassment, and I don't blame people. But to move on, I've harped on that too long. I always do a tank outlook, and I always do a look ahead. I'm going to do look ahead first. Washington's on a franchise record tying 16-game losing streak. They're third under Brian Keith. One more loss sets that record, and I guarantee you they're going to get it, because Saturday they are at Minnesota, who's been playing very good basketball as of late. I think they're 25, 26, and 21. They're good, 26 and 21. At Minnesota, that'll be a loss because they play really good defense and they play good basketball. They're coached really well, and the Wizards are not. And then they're at Charlotte. No LaMelo Ball, no Brandon Miller, no – I mean, Grant Williams is out for the year. They're not good in general, but without, you know, a couple of their best players, the real NBA veteran players, like, they aren't anything. And I think the Wizards could go in there and take a win, maybe snap it at 17. Honestly, if they don't, that'll be pretty embarrassing if you can't go in Charlotte without LaMelo and Brandon Miller and win when you're pretty healthy yourself. So I think that might be where they snap it. If they don't, they have another good shot the following night at Brooklyn, who, again, I think they play. I think Jordy Fernandez has done a great job with what he's got, but they've traded Dorian. They've traded Dennis Schroeder, and they're looking to trade some other guys. It's the last game before the deadline. So for both teams, this will be kind of fun because, yeah, Cam Johnson over there in Brooklyn, that could be dealt. Cam Thomas, that could be dealt. You look over in Washington, Kuzma, Valanciunas, Brogdon, they could be dealt. And so you're kind of looking at maybe they hold some of those guys out. Maybe those guys are like, you know, kind of auditioning that last second to see if teams really want to give up maybe a first or a second. Not in the Wizards case. I don't think they could get a one for anybody, but Cam Johnson certainly, maybe Cam Thomas too. So big game for Brooklyn, but they could win that too for the Wizards. And then the following couple games, they have a four-game homestand, starts with Cleveland, Big L, Atlanta, who they beat twice this year, but came into Washington the last time and killed them with Trae Young. No Jalen Johnson though, and so I think that could be a loss too. But I think in this five-game stretch, you have three winnable games, and I think that this losing streak will be snapped. And if it's not, and it's at 21, you're in some real, real, real trouble of getting that streak up to a NBA record. So that's the outlook in terms of the look ahead. I'm going to end it with the tank standings real quick. The Washington Wizards are set at obviously the worst team in the league at 6-41. They've lost 16 straight games. It's looking really bleak, but obviously it's the point. 0.128 win percentage as well. Above them is the Utah Jazz. They are 10-36. They have lost 8 in a row. The Wizards are currently 4.5 games up on the Utah Jazz. And look, I don't even know if the Wizards are going to get to 10 wins this year. So like, it's very possible that they've already locked up the worst record in the league. You got New Orleans at 12-36. Wizards are 5.5 up on them. They've lost 4 in a row after winning 4 in a row. Charlotte 12-32, and then Brooklyn at 15-33, Toronto at 15-32, and then it's a big gap until you get to 19-29 Portland. And so, and Toronto's won 5 in a row as well. They're pretty healthy. They're streaking kind of. And so it's really just kind of like Brooklyn and Toronto in their own realm, the Blazers and the Sixers in their own realm. It's kind of Charlotte, New Orleans, Utah, and Washington, like I've said. And so I think the Wizards are sitting pretty in terms of tanking. It's been embarrassing, but nonetheless, that's the look ahead. That's tank standings. And that's going to do it for this episode. I feel like I got my points across. It's, you know, it's one thing to tank, but it's another thing to just completely go out there and say, we're not even trying to compete. We're not trying to win. And that's kind of what the Wizards have done recently. The Bronny James MVP chants, the loud cheers in Capital One Arena whenever he touched the ball or scored. The fact that the Lakers treated the Wizards like they're a JV team. The fact that they on a 3-game losing streak and an average margin of defeat of 28 points, since Kyle Kuzma basically said he's above the tank and above the rebuilds. It's all of these things that are kind of just like the deadline can't come quick enough. It's February 6th. I think I'm going to have one more episode out before the deadline. I think my bro might join me to talk about some trades we might see, or he might join me after to discuss the aftermath of Washington's trade deadline, which I hope be better than last year's. I hope they don't do anything holding on to players that are going to be free agents or holding on to guys that they shouldn't because they think they can get more value. But that's a topic for that pod. But the deadline's coming up. The Wizards only have three games before that. It's very possible they're sitting at 6-44, maybe 7-43, but some combination of sucking by that time. And we'll see what the roster is like after that. I think Kuz is definitely a name to see on the block, especially after those comments. Kind of seems like he wants to go, and those comments don't seem like a guy that really cares anymore about, you know, building something with the team he's on. Valanciunas has been arguably the Wizards' most consistent player these last 15, 20 games. He's definitely on the trade block. Definitely has a lot of interest as well. Malcolm Brogdon has been out for about 10-plus games. He's missed pretty much more than half the season with injuries. But when he's played, he's been solid. And $18 million, I don't think you could get, you know, directly Malcolm Brogdon for salary filler in a couple seconds. But if a team needs, you know, a contract and to match salaries, like maybe Malcolm Brogdon is what it takes if the Wizards are a third-team facilitator. But at the end of the day, I think those are the three guys to look for. But based on Kuz's comments, 16-game losing streak, that'll be at 17. I think the Wizards need to just kind of wake up. They need a reset. They need all-star break bad, but they need to trade bad to refresh things and rejuvenate and re-energize the group a little bit because it's a little stale right now, and they kind of need a boost. So that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate all you guys for listening. As you know, if you've DM'd me or commented, I respond to everyone. So if you have any thoughts, any impassioned takes, feel free. I think I'm going to do a Spaces maybe Saturday night after the game against Minnesota. But thank you guys for always listening and tuning in. Thank you for supporting all the content I do on Twitter. It means a lot. Always does and always has. So thanks for that. Thanks for listening. It's going to do it for this episode. Go Wiz.